Hello, and welcome to The Preservationists, the monthly radio show for fans of local historic architecture, the history of unique buildings, and the people from our community working to preserve and restore them. This is Lori Serafin, filling in for Astronomus Ray. I'm Vice President of the Board of Directors at the Lower Columbia Preservation Society, or LCPS. Today's show will feature two volunteer docents from the Flavelle House. The Flavelle House is owned and operated by the Clatsop County Historical Society, a private nonprofit organization. Now, here's my disclaimer. I have been a docent for the past 7 years and really enjoy being at the Flavelle House and interacting with guests. The dictionary definition of docent is a person who leads guided tours, especially in a museum or art gallery, often serving as a volunteer. So, the purpose of the job is to host guests. The Flavelle House is one of Astoria's most iconic landmarks. It was built in 1885 to the spring of 1886 by Captain George Flavelle. It is shown as a house museum and is curated to the late Victorian period. The job description from Clatsop County Historical Society states docents should provide a welcome environment and a rewarding learning experience for the guests. It is a volunteer position and usually involves a 3-hour shift. Docents should enjoy working with the public, be able to work independently, and enjoy an educational role. So, Rosemary and Jacqueline, please introduce yourselves to our listeners, include your length of service, and tell us why you volunteered.
Okay, this is Rosemary Johnson, and I was the planner and historic preservation officer for the city of Astoria. When I retired in 2014, I decided I wanted to give back to the community something and volunteer somewhere. The two places I was looking at was the Maritime Museum and the Flavelle House. So I was still trying to decide when Mac Burns, who knew me, gave me a call and said, how would you like to come docent for us? And I said, that made my decision, and I've been there for now 10 years.
Well, this is Jacqueline Denton. I retired 2 years ago. I met Sam through my son in town, and he was looking for volunteers, and I love storytelling, especially when children are involved, kind of my natural inclination just to tell everybody a story. So I thoroughly enjoy being there and sharing the history of Astoria with people from all over the world.
Yes, all over the world. I know recently I've had guests from Europe, Australia, mm-hmm. England. Wow. They come from all over.
Yeah.
So what do you typically do during your 3-hour shift?
Well, we start out with greeting them and an opening spiel. And I like to greet them a little differently than most people. And I say, welcome to Captain and Mary Flavelle's home. I want them to come in and feel the people who lived there, not just a structure and a museum. Most people welcome them to the museum. The next thing that I do is I ask them where they're from. That's as much for me and my enjoyment to meet people from all over the world. It also gives me an opportunity to personalize their tour. I will relate something from my history or my travels. Or like if someone says they're from Germany, I'll say, oh, well, her family was from Germany. So it gives me an opportunity to give a little more personalization to where they're from. Then I also ask them if they saw the film up at the carriage house.
This is the 10-12 minute video on the Flavelles in the house.
Correct.
To provide a context to the visit.
Right. And if they haven't seen that, I will give them just a quick overview of who the captain was and when he built the house and what features they should be watching for in the house, like the central heat, hot and cold running water, and flushing toilets in 1886. So I think they need to hear a little bit of that, even if they don't see the film. I also really like to personalize and make everything positive. So I don't say, don't do this, don't touch that. Instead, I explain why. You know, I talk about the fact that the the woodwork has the original finish for most of the house, and we don't want them to touch the woodwork so that it will remain. So I like to try to put a positive twist on things.
Nice. Okay.
I pretty much do the same thing, but I'm also very aware of where they're from, and we do see people from all over the world. Those first few minutes that you're talking to people, one of the things you're always going to notice, too, are they really interested? Is this a checklist? Are they in a hurry? Do they have small children with them? So we kind of want to move things around a little bit and make it more appropriate for them. Sometimes when I ask them if they saw the video and they say, no, I'll say, can I give you a short version of it? And I'm always amazed at how many local people do not know the history here.
Right.
But one of the things I love is always paying attention to those kids, making sure they've got those scavenger hunts. There are paper dolls on the table over there if you're interested. Because kids are generally not as interested in this as their parents are.
Right. And that's where I personalize it. And if there are children in the group, I will tell them about the musical chair. Mm-hmm. And the it'll get the kids interested. And then I also will say, while you can't touch anything, if you're really good, there is a room upstairs where you can play with some Victorian toys.
Yes, the children's activity room is a real plus.
Yeah. Make it personal.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. There is a large amount of material to learn to be a good docent. How did you learn about the Flavel House and the family?
Well, as the historic preservation officer for the city, I had a good knowledge of the city's history and the Flavels, basically, but I did not know the house itself. Mm-hmm. What I did was, when you're a docent, you have a lot of downtime, where, especially in the winter, where you can read or do something. And so I read the history of each of the family members that they give you as a docent, and some information about the house. But then I read Nellie's diaries, and that binder is there for docents to read. And I really got a good insight as to the mentality of the Flavels and who they were as people rather than just facts and figures.
Yes, agreed.
I agree, too. And I actually only moved here 8 years ago, so I didn't know much about this area when I moved here. But you do provide some really nice material there when you have downtime. Pull something out and sit and read for a little while.
Yes.
So that's where I learned most of my information.
Right. Yes. And that's why, you know, also doing some extra research, like the artist, Cleveland Rockwell. No relationship to Norman Rockwell, but I read up on him and found out more information. So then when someone is really interested in the paintings, I'm able to give them a little bit more in depth. But that's just each person and each docent doing their own research to know more. We have docents, when they're training, they shadow other docents. And so they usually come and shadow me for a day. And I like to tell them how to greet people and emergency information, but then also I tell them you don't need to know everything. To be a docent, you can just know a little bit and learn on the job, but learn one or two stories that are special to you, and then that way you can relate those stories.
And it's okay not to know everything, and you can say that.
Right. Never lie. Never make something up. You want to be true to what you're doing.
Always.
And, you know, actually, I do the tours at the Liberty Theater also, so I may not have known a lot about the house in particular, but I know a lot of Astoria history. So you can start talking about the fire and the occupations that were happening here, so it kind of makes everything a whole complete story.
Right.
Yes. Well, this is a fun question. During your hosting duties, docents receive many questions. What are some of the most common questions that you get?
You know, we were talking about this earlier, and we said, why the girls didn't marry is a primary one. Where's the son's bedroom?
Yes.
When did the electricity come in? What is the weird guitar in the room, the harp guitar? And what percentage of furnishings are original, and how the plumbing works. So each of those questions, I've researched enough so that I can tell a story. Mm-hmm. I tell the story about Victorian era and women marrying and how the men took control of everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being able to talk about the history and the culture of that time period and why they might not have married.
Yeah, rich women had choices.
Right. Right. And sometimes I get cocky when they say, where's the son's bed or where did the son sleep? And I said, in his bed in his own house with his wife.
Yeah, eighth and grand.
Yeah.
So do you have any other questions to add to that list, Jacqueline?
Well, we always have to ask the question, is the house haunted? And that's kind of Astoria. But, you know, I think you're absolutely right. People don't realize this is a retirement home. So the children were grown when they moved in this house. That's why George doesn't have a bedroom. This was a retirement home.
Right. Yes, he was married and had his own house up at 8th and Grand.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. So that brings me to one of the famous questions. Some people state that the house is haunted. Have you experienced anything you consider paranormal or unusual that you could not explain?
I have not experienced anything, and to the best of my knowledge, none of the staff have. However, you have to handle that very cautiously with people because you don't know what their beliefs are when they ask that question. And so we never make a decision for them. What I generally tell them is that the staff have not, to my knowledge, have not experienced anything, but some visitors have said they felt a warmth in Mary's bedroom or that they had orbs in their photos. But again, even with that, you have to be careful because one little girl came in and she was almost in tears. She didn't want to go upstairs because somebody felt something in Mary's bedroom and she thought people had died there. And so it gave me an opportunity to tell the story of death in the Victorian period. You died at home. You didn't go to hospice or a hospital. So every question leads to a story that you can tell to explain who the Flavelles and what the Victorian period was about.
I think the house feels warm and safe and welcoming. So whatever spirits are there, if they are, they were a loving family. So they left nice imprints there.
And it was the only family to live there.
Exactly. So.
And it was only the county with Red Cross and Health Department offices for a short time in the late 30s and World War II. Mm-hmm. And then it became the museum in 1950. So it was just 17 years after Nellie died that it became the museum. Mm-hmm. And to my knowledge, nothing bad ever happened there.
Yeah.
I was looking at the dates the other day, and it looks like Clatsop County Historical Society has owned the house longer than the Flavelles at this point.
Interesting.
Because it's been 75 years.
Yes.
So. They didn't own it. The county owned it until the 1980s.
Yeah.
And so, it's been 45 years.
Yeah.
But they occupied the building.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. So have you received any unusual questions that you can repeat on the radio?
Well, there was one gentleman who came in with a photo of the Japanese screen in the library fireplace. And he had a picture. It looked exactly like the one that was at the fireplace. And he said, this is one I own. And he said, I want to know, is there anything on the back of that screen that can help me identify where this came from? So I had him wait while I went in and carefully looked at the back of the screen, which I did not find any information for him. But that was kind of unusual to have a feature like that that I had never seen before. And yet he has one in his house that was identical.
Interesting. Jacqueline?
One of my favorite pieces in the house is simply because I'm an antique collector. But in the music room, there's a little blue bowl sitting in the middle of the room on a table. And that's a piece of Roseville. And I love Roseville. It's so beautiful. And there's actually two more pieces sitting on the mantle at the fireplace.
Yes, there is.
Yes, there is. But that's probably one of my favorite pieces in the house is that bowl.
Okay. So over the years, I find some days more memorable than others. Has anything really different happened during one of your shifts?
Well, as I said earlier, I always ask where they're from. And I had one family come in and they told me they were from an eastern city. I don't remember which one now. And, you know, we talked and then they started on their tour. And then the next couple that came in was from the same city. And so I just mentioned, oh, this other couple's from your city. Come to find out, they lived three blocks apart.
Did they know each other?
No, they didn't know each other, but they made friends and were going to connect back when they went back home to the East Coast.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah.
I love it when we get kids in there who are really interested, and kids see everything. I mean, really, they don't miss a thing. And you'll get a kid in there every once in a while who's asking questions about everything. And I love that. I love the fact that they're so interested, that they're spotting everything. And they kind of generate some interest with everybody because kids don't miss anything. Yeah. And that's what I really enjoy because I like the fact that they're that curious and that interested.
Yeah. One day, a couple years ago, an older woman came into the house and she told me that she worked there. And this was during the public health days, during World War II. And she was in high school at the time and her job was to file charts. And she wanted me to help her figure out where the chart room was. She knew that it was upstairs, and she knew that it was a straight shot from the staircase. So I went upstairs with her, and we decided it was probably the guest bedchamber is where the charts were kept.
Oh, nice.
And that's really the only person that has come up to me and said something like that. So it was a very memorable experience for me, and I felt like I was kind of tied to the history of the house for a short time.
Yeah.
I had a couple come in one time who made a specific trip here because they were from Astoria, New York.
Oh, yes, yes. In Queens, yes. Okay. Tell me about your favorite aspect of the Flavel house.
I love the woodwork, the faux or fake painting on the wood and how that makes it look so rich and warm. And I will take a visitor if they are really interested in the woodwork, and I will take them into the dining room and show them the two doors,
yes.
The one that is open to the public or the guests and the one that was closed off to the help. And they're the exact same door. One has been stained different colors and the one to the help is just plain. And I show them that and the wainscoting, how the staining or that faux painting really brings out the details, yet the cupboard in the pantry, which again is only for the help, is not stained, and what the difference that staining did. So that's one of my favorite features.
I'm just partial to antiques, and I love the fact that they come in there and they see that these things. A lot of times people consider those things as something special that you put in the cupboard and you look at. And now you're walking into a house where that was your everyday dishes, that wasn't something that was held for special. That's what you actually used. So it kind of puts things back into that everyday perspective again.
Mm-hmm. When things weren't just so comfortable or, it was formal.
Yes. It was.
I think personally, the aspect of the house I enjoy the most is for a mansion, it's a very warm, inviting place. There's not a lot of gilt. There's not gold-plated fixtures. There's not a lot of marble. So it's very warm and inviting, and that's the aspect I like of the house.
Right.
It's not like going to Biltmore with the Vanderbilts.
We get that comment from visitors all the time, how it does feel more like a home, a grand home, but not a castle.
Yes.
The great difference about those two houses, when you go to the Biltmore house, you follow a roped path. period. You don't walk to the left. You don't. You follow the roped path. Right. Here, when they get upstairs, they're just so thrilled that they can just walk around the rooms. They don't have to follow a little rope section.
Yes.
And the Biltmore House is very, very much sectioned off like that.
Yeah. Very fancy. Very grand.
Yes, it is.
We have special displays and annual events in the house. Is there anything special planned for this Christmas season also?
Well, Christmas, they decorate with several trees and garlands around the doorways, and then they have plum pudding and tea.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really special, especially for locals. It gives you a chance to get in and enjoy the house and not be there necessarily as a tourist, you know.
Can you explain what a plum pudding is?
Plum pudding is a steamed pudding that is got raisins and very dense, a dark molasses type pudding. It's not what we think of as chocolate pudding or something.
Right. It's an English thing.
It is a very dense cake-like product. And then we serve it with a lemon sauce, whipped cream, and if you want, we will put a hard sauce on it.
It's got brandy in it, I think.
It has brandy, yes. And so, but then we ask each person if they want that.
Yes.
A lot of people don't like plum pudding. It is dense and very strong, so mm-hmm. you've got to go in realizing it's more like a fruitcake.
But my favorite part about that is you see people come in with their children who are dressed up and their gloves on, and they're sitting at that table with their beautiful china and they're sipping tea. And we have just put them right back into another era.
Right.
It's really a great opportunity to spend some quality time in the dining room and enjoy all that ambiance.
And the other event that we have that's similar is Mother's Day Tea. Mm. And that's tea and scones. And again, it's a great opportunity for the locals especially to come in and enjoy sitting in the Flavel's dining room and experiencing what it was like.
And of course, we're in Astoria, which means lots of people show up in vintage clothing, which is a lot of fun too.
Yeah. And then we have April Fools and Halloween, where they decorate. April Fools, it's always fun because Chelsea puts items around the house that are out of period, and people need to find them. And then Halloween, they're just fun things throughout the house.
Kind of vintage spooky items.
Right.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun.
Victorian,
So, is there anything you want the listeners to know that we have not talked about?
I think that the house is for locals as well as tourists. Locals come in and enjoy it. They bring their guests who are visiting. But I think they need to know that it's there for them also. And especially the Mother's Day tea and the Christmas plum pudding, those are fantastic things for them. And then the idea that locals, if you decide you would like to be a docent, that you don't have to come in with knowledge. We will train you. We will give you the material to read. And you need to come in with a good heart and a smile and be wanting to work with people and meet people from all over the world. So you don't have to feel like if you're not up on the Flavel's house or their history that you can't volunteer. A docent can be someone who just is interested in their community.
Well, that kind of brings us up to the fact that if you feel like being a docent would be a good fit for you, you can volunteer to become one. You would reach out to Carly at the Historical Society at 503-325-2203. Carly is our volunteer liaison, and she will follow up with you. Training is provided, and the docents work alone only when they feel comfortable. happen. And I think I remember doing a training shift with Rosemary.
A lot of the new docents are generally do shadow me. I have a background with the National Park Service as an interpreter. And so I have a lot of training in how to deal with visitors and make them welcome and doing a lot of the good communications skills. And so Carly usually has them shadow me and then making sure the people shadow others too, because each of us have a different way of doing it. And no one way is right or wrong. It's just we are all got our own personal way of greeting people and telling them what's there.
I absolutely agree. But I have to admit, one of my favorite things about telling people about this house is that when we talk about Mr. Favell, we're in history now, because what he started here, what he implemented here, still happens here every day. So this is a town that really has a history that follows through to this very day. And I think it makes it feel like we're more a part of this area and what happens here.
Right. That's why when you tell people that he's a bar pilot, they want to know what a bar pilot is. So then you can tell a little bit more of the history of the community and what that is.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. I think that's all for today's episode. Remember that anyone can be a preservationist. The next edition of The Preservationists will be on Tuesday, December 16th on KMUN. We are also on the KMUN Archives, and wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and thank you to Rosemary and Jacqueline for spending some time with me this morning.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
Hello, my name is Marcus Lucero. I'm on the board of directors of LCPS, and I wanted to let you know about a few events that we'll be hosting in the near future. In 2 days, we'll be hosting Topics in Preservation. That's November 19th at 6 p.m. at our headquarters at 591 12th Street here in Astoria, Oregon. So again, this is Topics in Preservation. We have this every third Wednesday of the month, monthly discussions and conversations with experts in their field. This month, we have DIY vintage floor lamp restoration with Jay Ronson of North Coast Fix. So he will be demonstrating and giving us tips to successfully restore a vintage floor lamp on your own with lighting expert, again, Jay Ronson. For more information, you can visit us at Lower Columbia Preservation Society. That's www.lcpssociety.org. And also, coming up this holiday is our annual holiday party. So join us for an open house and a cookie potluck. Bring your favorite holiday cookies to share, or just come and enjoy the evening with friends and family. Thank you for all of our members and volunteers who made 2025 a great year. We couldn't make LCPS without you. Again, that's December 17th. At 591 12th Street at our headquarters on 12th and Franklin from 6:30 to 8:30. There will be punch, there will be cookies, there will be fun, there will be announcements, we will be having a raffle. Again, that's our annual holiday party at December 17th, 591 12th Street from 6:30 to 8:30.